from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. As we're now standing by for the Mike McCarthy press conference on the heels of a glorious Cowboys week one dominant victory over the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, now the conversation is, where do we go from here? What does this mean? Is the defense good enough? Has anything changed with the offense? I don't know. But I do know I didn't. Do got to go back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius is going to slide up Mike McCarthy. Here we go.
David?
Hey.
Mike. This is David Moore, Dallas Morning News.
This is funny.
No, I'm just getting my recorder going.
Oh.
A little slow. A little slow in the draw here.
Tavis told me you guys all picked against us. How about this way? You're laughing.
Yeah, no, we did. but in addition to that.
Facts.
You're always talking about September football and the unscouted looks, and but also by the nature of the sport now, September football always isn't the crispest product you see over the course of a season. So how, other than winning the game, what things are you looking for to come out of an opener to show that you're kind of on track and doing the things you want to do going into the season?
Yeah, I think September football is really clearly, you know, what the league experiences. I mean, just you don't have the time, you know, that you used to have as far as fundamentals and things like that, but everybody's on the same schedule, so it's not like, you know, one team has an advantage over the other. So I just think it's, you know, something to be aware of and something to coach against. You know, the thing I didn't, you know, I'd say I didn't like. I mean, the thing that comes out of it is, you know, you want to play cleaner football. I mean, you know, we had way too many penalties. I think the game in itself. You know, who the hell wants to, you know, watch a game or, you know, be part of a game that has 20 penalties in it? So you got to, you know, spend time on that. We did today, and make sure we're clear, you know, what our players of what's being emphasized. You know, that's through dialogue with the league. You know, whether it's before the game with the officials. You know, the tapes that they send out. So, you know, it's ebb and flow of every year is about corrections. Solutions to make sure your team's, you know, benefiting and from every experience. I mean, at the end of the day, regardless if it's September football, you gotta find ways to win. So, and we can't lose sight that was a hell of a win for us. I mean, it's the first road win, tough environment, you know, very talented football team. I mean, just from my perspective offensively, I mean, I can't say enough about Myles Garrett. I mean, just I think like any of these players, you know, you appreciate them from afar, you appreciate them watching video, but then you get to see him play live and see some of the things that, you know, just appreciate his gifts and how he plays the game. So But you know, none of that can get lost in this. You know, there's you know, we come in here all the time, and it seems like we talk about the things that didn't go well. But there's a lot that went well, and it resulted in a, you know, in a clear victory for us. You know, and so I'm very happy with the start of the season. But you know, we just got done watching the tape with all our players at team meeting, and you know, we got details to work on. We got a lot of work to do, and it was our first time, you know, out there. Had guys play a lot of snaps. We were totally out of balance in the second half of that game, and it's always, you know, you like the game to go the way the first half did. I'm just talking about play distribution, ball distribution, all those types of things. So, yeah, just take a hard look at it, and, you know, as soon as I get done here, we'll be full bore onto the Saints.
So you don't analyze it or assess it differently, knowing the product will look different down the road, because you just have to look at every game the same regardless.
You got to evaluate them all the same, David. I mean, you'll never get to or you know, attain or stay above the standard that you're trying to create each and every year. So, I mean, our standard is not going to change regardless of the year, the time of year, who we're playing, where we're playing. So, you know, we have a standard that we work towards, we commit to. So our evaluation process is never going to change, because that's the only way you get the consistency and the efficiency. And, you know, you just go EPA from last year. You know, we're one or two in the league as far as efficiency. So, you know, we have goals that we want to play to. Every year is a new year, but the evaluation process is always the same.
Mike Todd Archer with ESPN. Along those lines, does it take a while to get into the rhythm of a season for coaches and players?
Yes, definitely. Great question, Todd. It's about time, but it's you know, it takes a while. No, I think the thing, you know, that I feel is really real important in training, you know, any of your teams is flow. I mean, the flow of the in-season schedule. Preferably, you know, the bye week's nice. The bye week before the week one has a lot of benefits to it, but it also interrupts an opportunity to get your team into a flow. Just in past training camps, you know, I would prefer to be on an in-season flow 2, sometimes even 3 weeks before the first week, because so much you do is, you know, the everyday life that everybody has, you know, responsibilities, you know, professionally, and getting into that flow. And especially you got rookies, 30% of your team's new, and getting everything tied together. So, you know, last week was, you know, it was our first in-season schedule week. So, yeah, all those things lead into your, you know, preparation and how you go into a football game.
Probably won't make it 2 for 2, but Ferguson, do you have an update on him after today?
Yes. Good news. He'll be working with the return to play group on Wednesday. So we'll see how that goes.
So just at The Athletic, Mike, with your running game, we talk a lot about the running backs, but we've seen last year you use CD out of the backfield. We saw it yesterday as well. What do you like about that? And do you feel like that can be a part of your running game in your offense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're always looking to run the ball. You know, conceptually, that's really where it starts. Conceptually, how you want to run the ball, and obviously the matchups and the techniques, and schematically how they're going to play to run. You know, so there's different ways to get the ball on the perimeter, and you know, that was primarily how we used, you know, CD, Brandon, and you know, obviously have used Terp there in the past. So, but yeah, I mean that's definitely, you know, part of our base offense.
Some outlet had Cooper Beebe as zero pressures and 36 dropbacks and passes and stuff. And how did you look at his performance, especially in pass pro and the way that he fared against that front?
I thought Cooper played well, especially, you know, all that's been asked of him, you know, at that position, going into that environment. So I thought he did a nice job.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. The rest of your tight end group, Scooney and those guys, how would you evaluate them so far?
Oh, it's great for them to get the reps. You know, obviously, I mean, you're always happy to see your young players have opportunities. But yeah, I thought Revan and Luke did some good things. Yeah, so you know, it's definitely, you know, some will be asking more of them moving forward. But I think the ability to, you know, I think the guy you gotta probably put it in front of the line there is Hunter. You know, you think of some of the things that we did with the tight ends and Hunter. Just trying to change the look on some things. I thought those guys did a good job.
Look at the penalties? Is it more about this is September football, we're just getting going? Or some of them are, hey, you should know better. This is something you shouldn't be doing.
I mean, it's football. I mean, you look at trends, we all do. You look at emphasis, what they're talking about, what they're looking for. You know, that's a dialogue that's is the norm of how things operate between, the league office and the team. So that, that part's all the same. It's the same as it's always been. Just frankly coming out of the Thursday and Friday night game, there was definitely some emphasis and those things that we talked about in our meetings on Friday and Saturday leading into the game is no different than the conversations that had with the officials before the game. So we just got to work on it, be better. And the things that, the pre-snap penalties and the discipline penalties, those are the things we just got to really harp on. Some of them penalties are, they're calls that can go either way. So just stay on top of the ones you can control.
Garrett Puddell, CBS Sports. Mike, after reviewing the film, could you kind of provide a breakdown of what happened at the end of the half with Brandon Aubrey's field goal and sort of the flow there? You talked about getting into the flow.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, you have Bones today, and he really wants to go through that with you. So I don't want to lose his thunder. He's still upset about it, but yes, I mean, it was end of game, end of half, obviously operation. The mark was a 50-yard line, so we went with a 2x2 formation, obviously hit the completion in real time, and we were set up ready to go. I think John, when we looked at it, was 25 seconds, and so it's unfortunate, the way it went, and I think he's really excited to take you through the specifics. So.
Quick follow-up. So you were comfortable with Brandon Aubrey kicking from 66. Is there a different, would you kick 71 if it was at AT&T, if wind wasn't a factor? What number?
Yeah, definitely. I think just like anything, I think he's shown he can go from 70. The only concern there, because if you looked at it, we backed right up and was going to go for it, but then there was conversation on the sidelines there, and John was really concerned about the return of it, and then, once he kind of, responded that way, because I mean, I already took my headset off, so I was going for the 71-yarder, but had a flashback to Nathan Basher from 2005. I was on the other side of that 109-yard return, so right before the half. But I mean, it's just, there was a wind there, we measured it before the game. I think it held up pretty much the same. It was about 15 mile an hour. Had some gusts. So that's why we pulled it off and went with the rebound pass there instead. But yes, trust me, I love giving our guys those type of opportunities. And Brandon didn't even blink. He just lined up and was ready to go. So. And I'll let John tell a story, but I think Brandon thought he was being freeze. He didn't even realize they moved it back 5 yards, so because he was so focused on the kick. I thought it had been exciting, but I think strategically with the momentum, the score, and everything going in the half, that it's still the right decision.
Aaron.
Aaron Gaslin's Lone Star Live. You mentioned Hunter kind of has an option to play more tight end. What about his skill set allows him to be able to do that, but also the lead
backer? I'm having a hard time.
You mentioned Hunter as a good option to fill in tight end. What about his unique skill set?
More some of the responsibilities that he did, from the more some tight end alignments. So, Hunter's a very flexible player for us. Also had a really good day on special teams too. I thought he played very well on teams. So, I think that's like anything with the with that body type, your linebackers, your tight ends, and obviously the fullback position. The more they can do, the more value they have, and the more you can play. It's a long season. It's one of the first things that we look at after the game is play time. So I would have liked to got Deuce more opportunities. I would have liked to run the ball more. In the second half, we were 0-for-5 on third down in the second half. So I mean, that's how the games go sometimes. But I think position flex is very, very important in our league, especially over a long season.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com. What was your film evaluation of the connection between Dak and CD? How do you feel like their rhythm is going with CD and Dak?
Yeah, I think just like anything, regardless of training camp and, not being here and so forth, I think we definitely had some first game production that we definitely left on the field without a doubt. So, I mean, as an offense as a whole, I mean, the passing game was, you know, we definitely needed to be better. Really, the whole message to the team is about the details. You know, our details were not nearly where they need to be, you know, especially in the second half. I thought the first half, you know, we played well, you know, especially for the way the first series went up. I love the way our guys responded. Love the way our defense responded there, you know, held them to three. And, you know, so in the defense really did an excellent job in the second half with the big plays as along with the special teams. So, but, you know, the passing game on offense needs to be better, particularly, you know, we've really emphasized bump and run, the opportunity to compete and take advantage of bump and run. And we were challenged some situationally there in the second half. And, you know, we need to do a better job moving forward.
Scott Erickson with the AP. The Tyreek Hill situation in Miami, through the years, have you felt the need to talk to your players about how, you know, potential interactions with police and if you can you share anything that you might have talked to them about?
Number one, I don't know the specifics of the situation, so I can't really comment on it, but I think just like anything, you know, we have continued education on all aspects of, you know, what our responsibility is to be a Dallas Cowboy, to the National Football League, you know, just in life in general. So, I mean, I think it's healthy. You know, obviously growing up in a household of public safety, you know, it's obviously that, you know, something I think we're awareness is important. So, yeah, the continuing education, I think the league does a tremendous job with the programs and the things that they bring forth, particularly in training camp.
Mike Edwarder, WFAA. What made Mike Zimmer the right hire for what you wanted to do defensively? And based on what you saw in game one, what stood out to you? What impressed you the most about the way the players executed within scheme?
You know, Mike Zimmer being the right hire for, I mean, on a number of different fronts. I think number one, you know, there's a, you know, we all have philosophies and ideas on how you want to put together a staff. You know, I if you look at my history, you know, I have a preference, particularly if the staff's going to be structured with myself doing the play calling and predominantly being, you know, time-wise and on the offensive side. You know, having a former head coach, I think there's a lot of value in that on the defensive side of the ball just because of the responsibilities there and just the way it's structured. Competitively and schematically, you know, something I was very familiar with Mike, just, you know, competing against him for decades. And so I've always, you know, enjoyed our competition, but the scheme that he brought here, I think, you know, with our success that 3 years prior, you know, you're always trying to adjust and evolve. Nothing stays the same. And I just thought it'd be a really natural shift for us schematically, defensively. And I think you saw, you know, some of that come to life yesterday. And I just, you know, in his history here in Dallas, I mean, I think that was a very mutual, you know, mutual connection for him to come back here too. So, and personally, we both have daughters, and, you know, it's always a, you know, he's a little more grumpier than I am, but I think there's a, you know, a number of different things. I thought it was a very good, very good choice.
And what stood out to you with the defensive performance yesterday?
Oh, just the opportunities. You know, I think just like anything, I think our guys would echo, you know, just the opportunities that were put to place. You know, we probably expected a little more big personnel from them, more 12, more 13. You know, they went more 11 and 10. So I think just the way our guys adjusted in the pass rush and the pressure and just, you know, just the opportunities our guys were put in position and our guys did a nice job with it.
Hey, Mike. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. A lot of rightful talk about how well your young guys, Kalen Carson, DeMarvion Overshawn, performed. But can you talk a little bit about Marshawn Neal? He played well in both run defense, pass rush, six quarterback pressures, I believe. So can you just talk about what you saw?
Yeah, Marshawn, I thought, played – really, I just kind of just, you know, echo the rookie class. I mean, I was very, very proud of those guys to go out there and in week one, you know, on the road. And they all, you know, we received some compliments today. So his physicality, number one, you know, has stood out since Shavel as soon as he got here, you know, back to the OTAs. So he's just a great fit for us. I love his motor, his toughness, very mature. But yeah, I thought he had a really nice day, especially first one out of the gate.
Tom. Mike, you know the rehab road can be a lonely path for these guys at times. How rewarding is it for you to know the work that guys like Trayvon and Overshawn mm-hmm. put in to see it pay off in week one?
I mean, really, just really happy for those guys, you know, because that's those are dark hours. And, you know, you see them in the training room. I'm watching Sam and go through it right now. You know, he's down there every morning. You know, so it's a long road back. And then to see him come running out of that tunnel, yeah, that's a big deal. And it's good to see those guys out there, you know, playing free. But yes, definitely. I mean, I think the amount of work that those guys put in, and I think you got to give, you know, Britt Brown and the staff a lot of credit.
With Overshawn and his speed and his close there on that sack, I mean.
Yeah, definitely impactful. We all felt the speed. There's a couple plays here just the way he's. I mean, you know, the fourth down. You know, some he had some great pursuit plays. So you definitely feel him out there. So it was great to see him out there flying around.
David, we asked you a lot in the all season about Mozzie Smith and where he was and how this system would be a little bit better fit for him, just as far as his awareness and how he had played before getting here. How did he play yesterday?
I feel like I say the same thing about every guy, but grayed out well. I was very, really happy for Mozzie, but I think this is, you know, some of the things that are different for him this year to last year. You know, he's really attached to, and so I thought he got off to a good start.
There it is, the Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Mike saying he's very happy with the start of the season. Still work to do. Jake Ferguson expected to be working with the return to play group, and we'll see how that goes, but did admit they were out of balance in the second half, particularly offensively. Right as we threw to Mike McCarthy, the Rangers announced Kumar Rocker getting called up to the show, and he's going to start on Thursday. That is amazing. 14 months after elbow surgeries, compiled a .91 ERA in 29 2/3 while allowing a 128 average so far in double and triple A. So the 24-year-old has dominated minor league opponents on the same level that Paul Skeens did in his 7 starts before being called up to Pittsburgh. And now we get to see him and hopefully generate some excitement for what the future holds. All right, well, Chuck, where are we going next?
Yeah, let's do some NFL news of the day. Is this the worst trade in NFL history? A bizarre apology and your rookie quarterback stat of the day.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's next.
Welcome back, Nation. If you missed it, Kumar Rocker's going to debut for the Rangers on Thursday. That's some breaking news from just about 30 minutes ago. It's time now for the NFL News of the Day with Wolchuk. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And this segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL News of the Day.
All right, let's knock out some of the injury news. Obviously, we got a positive update on Jake Ferguson. He's week to week. I mean, Stephen Jones was on with KMC earlier, said he could even maybe play on Sunday against the Saints. I mean, we'll see. He said it was more of a bone bruise than anything.
The great thing about Twitter doctors, and they're like, I don't know about this. I don't.
Thank goodness.
You're just kind of like, it depending on who you follow, all these Twitter doctors will step up. Say yeah. It's probably
so
a big
was,
risk.
It was just a hyperextension and a bone bruise?
MCL sprain is what MCL they officially sprain. Termed
yeah,
it as.
Yeah, I thought when I first saw it and we were talking about it in the post, I kind of thought it was a hyperextension is what the way it looked.
That's
like.
Two big injuries that these players have dodged with Ferguson and then Jordan Love, of course, on Friday night in a game that the Packers just peed down their leg and didn't want to win. But Jordan Love, I thought that thing popped on him and it ends up just being an MCL sprain and they're thinking 3 to 6 weeks for Jordan Love or that would have been, oh my gosh, season over for the Green Bay Packers. Also good news for Josh Allen, Bills quarterback after a win yesterday against the Cardinals. He hurt his hand. He's cleared. He's going to be good to go on Sunday. That's not something that is going to be a serious injury. We were doing post-game, Brian. We saw Puka Nacua being carted off.
Yeah.
And he's week to week as well. He re-aggravated that knee injury that had caused him to miss time during training camp. So fantasy owners out there, that's a big one. And then a huge loss for the Browns. I mean, maybe their only good player, but Derrick Brown has a potential season-ending knee injury as well for them. So that's one where Dave Canales and company, things are going bad in a hurry there for the Cleveland Browns. Tonight, we've got Jets, we've got 49ers. One player who won't be playing is Hassan Reddick, who continues his holdout with the Jets. Now, he's going to forfeit a game check tonight of nearly $800,000, and he's already been fined more than $5 million for the time that he's missed during camp. At some point, it's like, if the Jets are saying we're not doing anything, we're not changing our side of this, if you're Hassan Reddick, it's not worth it to lose out on this amount of money. It's crazy to me that he's still holding out.
Yeah, this is wild. It's rare these happen, you know, and I can't imagine doing it myself, but you know, he's probably looking at it like, I've made a significant amount of money to this point. I'm only getting one more contract. So if I get that contract now or I wait until next year, it's probably going to be about the same.
All right, football guy of the day on the line here. I got a stat for you guys, okay?
Oh, geez.
You ready, B? You ready? All right, so yesterday, Kevontae Turpin had a 60-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Yes, he did. I saw it.
It's the first Cowboy punt return for a touchdown since 2017.
Dwayne Harris.
Can you tell me who it was that had that touchdown? Dwayne Harris?
Sure. Is he right?
It's not Dwayne Harris, no.
Okay, it's not
Lucky Whitehead?
It's not Lucky Whitehead. That's a good guess.
Was it Dez?
It's not Dez.
That Ryan guy from UNC?
That's Ryan him. Switzer.
Ryan Switzer.
Oh, Ryan, you Ryan, you were supposed to jump in and just like get this one so I can give you the Raiders, guy right? of the day. We talked about this. We had a whole plan.
I know we had a plan, but I felt like Dawson was going down the right path. I wanted to get
honestly,
him.
Thank you, buddy. You had some great polls. Like Dwayne Harris, Lucky Whitehead. Like you were racking down.
And
the
then he went North Carolina guy, and I went, gosh, he knows this.
That's
one.
A hell of a poll yeah, right
that
there.
That's a good poll.
That is a good poll. Also, a shout out to Caleb Williams, who made history yesterday. Finished 14 of 29 for 93 yards, no touchdowns, no picks for 55.7 passer rating. Now, he made history. Only rookie quarterback to throw 25 or more pass attempts and record under 100 passing yards in their first start and win the game. Also, first number one overall pick, as we talked about on Friday, to win their first start since 2002.
Derek Carr.
Well, what a comeback, huh? The teammates picking him up. And, you know, Caleb, hopefully it just gets better from here. Didn't look great.
No, it did not look great for really any of the rookie quarterbacks yesterday. But, I mean, they started the game. The first quarter, it was negative 14 passing yards for the Bears.
Really bad.
It was definitely not good. I guess they're calling it, from a passer rating standpoint for Caleb Williams, that's the 11th worst debut among all quarterbacks picked first overall since 1970. But it is better than John Elway, Matthew Stafford, Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, and Eli Manning.
And Daniel Jones and Deshaun Watson yesterday.
So, yes.
Still better games.
So, the last time a first overall pick hit a quarterback had won was Dallas and Houston, right?
Yes. It's David Carr.
David Carr. That was, boy, what an awful night.
But disgusting game.
The idea that the Titans couldn't cover being a 4.5-point dog while leading 17-0, and they didn't give up an offensive touchdown.
My guy threw a terrible interception.
He did.
He just slung the ball.
Levis looked absolutely brutal.
No, like he was fine the first half.
Yeah, the second half.
The second half, he was awful.
Shout out to Tony Pollard. Heck of a game for him in his debut, but it was not enough.
They didn't score an offensive touchdown, and they finished with under 150 total yards.
I mean, we had two teams get wins yesterday that didn't score offensive touchdowns with the Steelers and the Bears. It's pretty incredible. We also had a debut of Tom Brady in the booth, 877-881-1053. How'd you think Brady did? Although I know you were listening to the game on 105 through the Fan. You heard Brian and I bust in, do some play-by-play. We'll relive that.
Two guys, one booth. For sure.
I was so impressed with you guys.
We tried, man. Thank you very much. But
it was so bad. My only question is, will he get better or will he pull a Jason Witten and just leave?
Okay. Well, Scott Hansen, who hosts the Red Zone channel on NFL Network, does a fantastic job. Apparently, his contract's up after this year. So he's
Scott Hansen's going to be the guy?
Well, Scott Hansen just...
Maybe Tom could be Red
Zone. He was critical of Tom Brady, and then today... maybe. He was critical of Tom Brady. I've got the audio for you.
You
got to
go forward. You can't go backwards.
So here's Scott Hansen during the Red Zone channel, kind of taking a shot at Brady. Do you think this warranted an apology, which he put out today?
71?
This is crazy. Yeah.
Well, they got to cover. If it doesn't go in.
This is a 71-yard attempt. And now the Browns will call a timeout.
Maybe everyone's going to rethink this one.
71 yards.
Go to the Jets down. Oh, come on. Brady's got to get more excited than that in the booth. This is going to.
What?
Yeah. All right. Brady's got to get more excited than that in the booth?
That's what he said.
I mean, Kevin Burkhardt had enough excitement for the both.
I thought Brady was not excited about
the clear sick burn. Would have been, you got to be rethinking your broadcast career, Tom. Well, like that might have been where I would go if I was Hansen, right? That would be a sick burn that you'd have to apologize for.
Exactly. Yeah. But even that, I don't know if somebody told him or he was just getting hate for this, but he went ahead and said, today, this was unfair and inconsiderate by me. Yes, I was saying it tongue-in-cheek, but I didn't calculate how it may come across. At Tom Brady, I apologize. I promise I am rooting for you in this new venture. I just didn't think Scott said anything there that really warranted a public apology.
No, not at all.
Are we just like everyone's trying to cover for Tom Brady's ass right now? Like this, that was just weird to me.
Well, yeah, that is weird. You know, you see bad broadcasting, you should call it out. And I think Tom has to decide if he wants to work at this and engage. I get like having the jitters in the first go around and not being great. I think it's possible Tom Brady is awesome, but if he's being honest with himself right now, he's thinking like, holy crap, I basically just bombed, you know, my NFL analyst debut. There were several moments where like something big would happen and it was time for him to say something and he totally peed down his leg.
Yeah,
which I like as a bet payoff, by the way. Just a pee your pants bet payoff. Like, just throwing that out
you
there.
You keep bringing that up.
No, but you can't bring your
bring
diaper.
Some plastic
no,
down.
No, yeah. no. You, none of just, that diaper
just,
stuff,
you,
Broadus.
You keep bringing that up. I'm going to do the nitro gummy, I think. I'm going to prove to you that it wasn't that bad.
As a guy who's done the nitro gummy and peed his pants before, I'm telling you, you'd rather pee your pants.
I really don't feel so good about it.
You know, the thing.
The whole thing.
Do you kind of feel like that if Kevin Burkhart would set him up for some more stuff? That it might be a little bit
there you go.
Better.
I think if you're Brady, your finger pointing today, like teammates be better.
It's just, I'm just saying, I mean, I'm just trying to find a better avenue instead of Tom trying to kind of pick it up. Like Kevin Burkhart, like I think when Brady is able to explain why would they do this with the quarterback or why does the offense need to think about this? And I think maybe Burkhart could kind of.
That's a good point.
Because the game was getting out of hand. I would have just completely just started picking Tom Brady's brain.
Yeah.
I would have said, okay, you're Deshaun Watson here. Things are not going, you know, he would have given me we got to go forward before we can go backwards. He said that like 3 or 4 times. And I'm like, come on, Tom. Okay. Go to another point.
Hey, you got
to
master the cliche early.
But I think that Burkhart did a good job of kind of setting up our tight end last year.
Olsen.
Olsen. Because he's buddies with Olsen.
Yeah. You think it's more of like kind of an inside job?
No.
I hope you do well, Burkhart, Brady, but I'm not going to help you.
I just feel like that Burkhart could help him a little more. Like Summerall used to do it with Madden, like set him up for some stuff.
I think you're 100% right. I also think he was trying to find out where he fit in all this. He wasn't sure when to interject. He was a little bit uncomfortable.
Bottom of the totem pole, Wolchuk.
Maybe he does end up being terrible at this, but it's one game.
Yeah.
He might get better.
One game.
Yeah. Still
early. It's week one, you know, and you know he's going to get in the film room. He's going to come back with all the adjustments.
Next week, Dawson's going to be, Julius Net broadcast week two. Not good.
I think you got to want it, though, and I'm not sure he wants it.
Fair.
He might just be like, "What? I got to work hours on this. I got stuff to do.
I don't know, dude. This might be the perfect thing. A little Monday morning embarrassment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's used to getting all the praise after a football Sunday. Now all of a sudden you feel like, wow. I need to get back to the drawing board here.
Fox has got the Super Bowl this year, by the way.
Possible. Okay, that would be a train wreck.
That's where he thrives.
Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking it, buddy?
Yeah, I'm going to break down Tom Brady some more. No, I'm really not. I'm going to break down this game for you. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's, Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this one. I'll tell you what, let's start off with this film. And I think people would like to know more about the way the rookie offensive lineman played?
Absolutely. Give me all the Cooper Beebe, Tyler Guyton you can.
Which one would you like to hear about first?
You know where I'm going to go.
You want to hear about Beebe?
Of course.
Kind of felt like the Beebe when you start to talk about the first thing when you think with Beebe, it's about the snap. And he was able to handle that very, very well. You know, especially with guys in the gaps, guys maybe over his nose, I felt like that he was very comfortable doing those types of things. That you could tell there was a couple of different times where I was wondering the touchdown that they had, and I need to ask somebody this question because on tape it looked interesting. The blitz that they got, they had four to block. Really, they had four to block four, and they let the blitzer home. But great job by Dak. And I'm talking about the touchdown he threw to Cooks. Cooks one-on-one against Thornhill. Thornhill never even moved. You know, it was really a great route, the corner route that Cooks ran out of the slot. And it was a really nice throw by Dak, a great read knowing where he's got the matchup. But I wonder if that was something where Beebe and those guys needed to make a call to get the pickup because they had enough guys to pick up the blitzer.
Yeah, it felt like if you're going to leave a free man, it should be the furthest man from the ball, not the guy.
Right. We saw that a couple different times with Guyton coming down, and then they let the furthest guy. That's rule of thumb. That man that's the furthest away is the quarterback's responsibility. You know when you slide a protection, that guy's your guy quarterback. And so, you know, Dak. But I was just wondering a couple of different times there. They had some situations where I wonder if calls got conveyed in order to get guys in position to. But overall, I felt like that Beebe, much better pass blocker than run blocker in this game. And there were some times, too, where the run blocking wasn't poor.
Yeah.
But where they were poor was him trying to get up to that second level. And we talked about in the pre-game and the build-up to the game, Koromora. You know, when you don't block him, he'll make every single tackle. And that's really what kind of happened in this game is. And there was a couple of times, though, where they blocked it pretty darn good. And they had hat on hat, and everybody got to where they needed to be. And then all of a sudden, Rico Dowdle, you got to make a cut. You got to cut behind. And the way the Cowboys tried to run the football in this game was with the traps and misdirections, the jet sweeps, the things like that. They had some success, but the biggest problem with their with BB, Guyton, guys like that were the lack of sustain with their blocks. And you know, BB, when he gets up on that second level, he's got to locate and he's got to be able to kind of get on that because they got behind him a couple of different times in the running game. But that was something that I felt like that the pass protection was spot on for him.
Good.
And the power spot on for him. I just wonder if there were a couple of times where they didn't get a call conveyed that Dak was able to kind of handle, knowing, uh-oh, this is about to happen to me. The touchdown for sure was one that I questioned on the tape. With Guyton, he went into survival mode yesterday as a pass blocker. And it wasn't just, I believe I looked at the numbers, I think that Garrett only played 45 snaps in this game. So it wasn't all Myles Garrett, but the pressure and the sack that he got on Guyton was just him being Myles Garrett. There was absolutely nothing that Guyton could have done to prevent that at all. That was just, we talked about Garrett's ability to get as much ground on that first step. He was on Guyton before he knew it. Guyton, it was everything's of his athletic ability to even hold on the play. And it wasn't called a hold, but he basically tackled Garrett to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But that was that's something he's going to have to learn.
Yeah, to be expected.
Smith got him, but he is going to when he looked far more comfortable as a run blocker than he did a pass protector. And that's something we keep saying this, but he didn't really see that. We didn't see that much. I know I didn't see that watching the Oklahoma tape, but man, he's a physical run blocker and he has that ability.
He's a finisher.
He is a finisher. And
Mickey says that all the time. You know, absolutely. We got
to be a finisher there. But I'll tell you what, though, that was, for the first time out, it wasn't pretty. He was in survival mode. He didn't get anybody hurt in the game. And that's a real positive in itself.
Definitely got fortunate on that.
Yeah.
On the fumble.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You know, that's good job by Tolbert picking it up out there in the flat. That's good awareness on his part. The ball, goes sideways. You got to jump on it out there. So, you know, I think the running backs, can I talk about them a little bit?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned in the cross today, if Zeke would have had the 10 carries for 40 yards in the second half, I would have felt better. But the way that he had one of his big carries was off a draw play.
On third and a million when they were willing to give you 9 yards.
Well, they had, it was, like I was saying, the way that they were blocking things up front, that it was going to be there were the pulling, the down blocks, the things like that that we've seen, that they were trying. But the second half, they had really nothing. They had nothing when it came to any type of movement. And that's the part that's disappointing to me, that maybe that what you saw in the first half, if that could have carried over and been a second half staple, that they could have gone to some type of plays that would have been a little bit more, hey, let's challenge the guys up front.
It almost felt like they were like, hey, we're happy with where we're at here. We're
I think Mike realized
going through the motions a little bit.
I think Mike realized that his, he used to get on, Kellen Moore about wanting to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and then, taking chances and that kind of stuff. I don't know. Like I said, I just felt like to me, second half would have been a good opportunity. They got into what they call that 21 personnel. They got in there with the two backs, one tight end.
Mm-hmm.
They went 22 personnel, two backs, two tight ends. Your better blocker in these run situations was actually Hunter Lipke. When Ferguson went out, it was Span Ford, it was Scooney were involved. But when Hunter Lipke was actually a better run blocker
as like a lead back, or
as they put him as a wing and put him over in a tight end situation.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked like he had a better feel for how to get into his block and then make something happen. They didn't have the success at some of the other spots, but I kind of was impressed with Hunter Lipke and the way he was able to handle himself. Say the backs again. They also had a situation too where The blitz pickup stuff I thought was really, really good in this game.
And Rico.
Yeah, Zeke, absolutely.
Both of them. Yeah, and that's where I think that, to me, I don't have a problem with Elliott playing if that's the role he's going to play. Screen guy, catch the ball guy, be a blitz pickup guy. I think you could get a lot more out of him as that role, and then try and figure out some other things. But they're going to need to run the ball in the second half better than they have.
You just can't wear Zeke down. You know, I liked week one fresh Zeke. Yeah. I hope they can keep him looking like that. Yeah. He looked maybe a little bit quicker and fresher than when he left.
Yeah,
The player I got most excited about was probably Overshown, because I think he has a chance to be that linebacker that we've struggled to have that brings athleticism there.
Yeah, they actually all the linebackers, that whole entire room played really, really well. Even, you know, with Leofowl, he got a few snaps in there. They did a great job of rotating that group. And so you kind of saw the different combinations, even with Clark being in there, guys playing downhill, guys playing fast, guys taking on blocks. The line in front of him did a nice job.
It makes a difference when your line's not getting pushed around.
There was some really good coordination between the line and the linebackers, especially when it came to the blitzes and things like that. They were getting rushes home because of the coordination that they had between the two groups. The coverage aspect from the linebackers I thought was exceptionally well, because you worried about Njoku doing some things.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Lewis played a hell of a game for you
too. He was tackling machine.
Yeah, all over the place.
Sure,
defense is exciting. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. We'll give you the C-note, go around the DAC deal and all the major highlights after a week one victory next in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.